thank you for joining me. I'm Michael Bott. I'm a 61-year-old actor living near Shakespeare's Stratford-upon-Avon, right in the middle of the UK. And this is the Actor Notes podcast, an eclectic, ad hoc collection of thoughts, discussions and interviews about life in acting and acting in life. So, here we are with episode 2, and being still at the beginning of the year, it's not too late to talk about goal setting. Indeed, a week or so into January, it may be around now that first indications appear that those fine and sparkly resolutions we made are beginning to look a bit tarnished. If that's not the case, brilliant. However, as actors, we're particularly aware of the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, and I thought a conversation that took in the particular concerns that actors have about determining how life is going to go may be apposite. Now, by brilliant stroke of good fortune, my wife happens to be a personal development coach. Also, I host an occasional video streaming chat called, amazingly, ActorChat TV, that uses the Blab platform. By way of kicking things off, and because it was easy to do, we did a live broadcast entitled Actors and Goal Setting, and the rest of this podcast is the audio recording of it. It was the first time using Blab like this, and there was a tech issue which results in an occasional echo in my voice, but apart from that, it seemed to go rather well. We hope you enjoy it. At the beginning, before I do, thank you for those that have joined us right now. I know it was short notice, not so many people will be watching live, but hopefully we wanted to get this one recorded so it's available to people early in the year. And talking of being early in the year, it's now we tend to set our minds to resolutions, goal setting, that kind of stuff. But it always strikes me that for actors, there's a limit to what we can realistically plan as far as careers are concerned. Anyway, we can't resolve to get particular jobs or be deterministic about where our careers go. So in the end, no matter what actions we take, we often feel that our lives are directed by contingency and luck rather than by design. Now, by brilliant good fortune, I happen to be married to the woman you can see screen with me. This is Sharon Bott. Now, Sharon is a personal development coach, amongst other things. But we met while we were both actors. That's nearly 32 years ago, by my reckoning, believe it or not. So not only is she a brilliant coach, but she's also got a sympathetic eye and ear for the particular perspective that us actors have and the ontological challenges, if I can put it that way, that we face. So I thought it would be absolutely brilliant if we could get her on the show at this time of the year and maybe take a look at some different ways of approaching the new year. So hello, Sharon. And what will probably happen many times, you know, I will use the familiar. I will say, hello, darling.
Hello.
Hello,
my love.
Hello, sweetheart.
Hello.
yeah, we're in the same house, but in different rooms, in case you're wondering. But time is now fit for you to introduce yourself, Sharon, and tell us a bit about how you started as a coach, how you came to be a coach, you know, and what inspires you about being a coach.
Oh, gosh, lots of questions there. I guess I have always, from my teenage years, been fascinated by what's kind of become known as the personal development industry. I remember years ago reading Louise Hay books and Susan Jeffers' Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And it kind of opened a little window on a world that fascinated me. In fact, there was a point when the children were small that I actually contemplated completely retraining as a psychotherapist. It was only that it was going to take 7 years and cost an awful lot of money that stopped me doing that. So I did a counselling course instead and went on to do various kind of coaching trainings. And I think that I guess it's the question of who are we as human beings and where does your power lie as a human being? And I think this is what, bearing in mind what Michael just said about as actors, you're in some ways it can feel like a very passive role. You're waiting for the casting director, the agent, the director or whatever to come to you with the work. And it feels like there's very little that you can do. It's a very disempowering situation, which can make you can leave you feeling when things aren't happening, you know, hard done by or out of luck or, you know, a bit of a victim mentality. And in the sort of, I guess I was a professional actress for about 10, 15 years. I didn't like that feeling of passively waiting for stuff to happen. And I was fascinated by how when you can't change what's happening on the outside, you can always change what's happening on the inside, the way you react. You know, stuff happens. It's the way we respond to that, the decisions we make about it, the stories that we make up about it, the interpretations we give to what's happening, that allow us to either feel powerful and inspired or to feel hard done by and fed up. And, you know, I met a lot of actors, and I'm, you know, sure you have and you will, who they're moaners and whingers, and it's always their agent's fault or the industry's fault. I've met similar people in other walks of life who give all their power away. And do you know, I'm all about what works in life for you, for me, for all of us. You know, the best solutions are always the win-win solutions. And to me, it doesn't work to give my power away and to be a victim and to blame other people, other situations, the economy, whatever, because then there's nothing you can do. And that's a horrible feeling. Whereas if you switch that around, shift your focus, there's always stuff you can do that has you feel good. And when you feel good and you go into a casting and you're kind of feeling confident, you're feeling good about yourself, you're feeling good about the world, the energy that you give off, unless, of course, they're looking for a character that is a complete no-hoper, you know, down a hole, whatever, then, you know, maybe you want to do some acting then. But generally, people who have charisma, who are attractive, who make people want to be around them and to work with them and whatever, they are not victims.
So what you were saying about being a victim, I suppose being at the beginning of the year as we are, because we're, to a certain extent in our careers, hostages to fortune. That is a particular area in which we feel disempowered. And when it comes to making resolutions, it's very hard to be, as I said, be deterministic about them. So I think that this, you know, what we need to be talking about is how we can work around that kind of problem. As actors and be as powerful as we can when we're creating for the new year. One particular thing that springs to your mind immediately? I mean, there are many aspects of this, but is the one that's foremost in your mind?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I know we're doing this because it's the start of the year. Which is a useful reset button. And if things go a bit pear-shaped, you can reset any time, absolutely any time in the year. Don't kind of think, oh, well, the year's gone down the drain, so I'm going to give up and wait till 2017 arrives. you know, just get over it, move on, and we can reset at absolutely any time that we want to. Now, there was something else I was going to say, and I've completely forgotten what it was. So can you ask me the question again?
Well, it was around the difficulty of being specific about what we can do. And I know that, you know, one thing that we do in order to get round that kind of problem is we put a very broad, generalized theme into our year that provides a context for everything else.
Yes. Shall I talk about that a bit then? Yeah. Well, we've been doing this. I think this is our third year of doing it. And I think it's been incredibly useful. And I've suggested it to quite a lot of people, to clients and colleagues who've all thought, oh, wow, I'm going to try that. It's a way, choosing a way of being in the face of life, which has a way of kind of tripping you up, kneecapping you, taking you off in unexpected directions, you know, taking you by surprise, ambushing you in all sorts of good, bad and ugly ways. Who are you going to be? You know, it's when life is going well, it's easy to be great. When life challenges you, that's when you show your true colours. And it's who you choose to be in the face of whatever, exactly what I was saying about how we, you know, when we can't influence what's happening outside, we still have influence over how we're being in the face of whatever. And sometimes trying to invent that when the going gets tough is difficult. So what we've done over the last 2-3 years is kind of choose a theme for the year. Now, the first year, 2014, it was grace and ease. And kind of that's what showed up in the year. You know, this thing about law of attraction, what you put out is what you attract to you, like attracts like. And the year was full of surprises and, you know, changes of direction. But, you know, when things take you by surprise, you always have a choice in how you respond. You can say, oh, that's crap, well, that's really good. And you can say, well, I'm going to rise to this challenge with grace and ease, or, well, I'm going to panic and I'm going to run in the opposite direction or whatever. So grace and ease was a wonderful thing to kind of hold on to tap into, to resonate with. Last year, we chose outrageous openness, which is a wonderful one when things take you by surprise, or when opportunities arise and you think, oh God, am I up to that? And you think, well, actually, in the spirit of outrageous openness, I'm going to go with this. This year, we've chosen magic and miracles, which just makes me smile to think about it, because I think both Michael and I we've set some big, super hairy, audacious goals for ourselves. The acronym for that is SHAG. So we've
that.
Super hairy, audacious goals. this is the year of SHAG. To actually think, well, yeah, I can play full out in that, in being extraordinary and, you know, working hard in whatever ways feel appropriate at the time. And ultimately, it's not all down to me. I'm going to allow magic and miracles to play their part as well, for, you know, the unexpected, the glorious, gorgeous unexpected to happen as well.
So we were talking about specifics, you know, and you just said within the context of, you know, a broad theme for the year, that we'd set some big goals. Now, that sounds kind of counterintuitive when we're talking about us as actors and not being able to be specific. But when you create them inside of a context, they seem to sit properly. So I wanted to talk a bit actually about how, although you can't be specific about the jobs you're actually going to get, how you can specify what you want to be doing in the year without being attached.
Yes. And that, I think that's a crucial part of the equation. And I think a good analogy is when you book a holiday, if you go into the travel agents, and well, people don't do that anymore. They go online. When you go online to book a holiday, unless you have a pretty specific idea of where you want to go, the kind of place that you want to stay, the kind of experience that you want to have, you're going to have a really hard job booking the holiday. You are going to have to make choices. And your commitment is to have an amazing time, to recharge your batteries, to have new experiences, to have adventures, to learn and to grow, to get a tan, to experience different cultures. Whatever it is that a holiday represents for you. And I'm sure if you look at what you want out of an acting job, actually some of those things are going to come up to learn and grow, to experience new things, to have new challenges, probably not get a suntan, unless you're lucky enough to get a job that's filming in Australia or somewhere. But if you're clear about what you want, then the universe, I don't want to get all wafty bollocks here, and you know, but I think the law of attraction, what you put out there tends to be what you attract back in. And, you know, there are enough examples. I've got plenty in my own life, and I've read of literally hundreds and thousands of other people who, in getting clear, in getting committed about what they want and putting it out there, that tends to be what shows up. Now, what's extraordinary is that it'll show up, but not necessarily in the way that you wanted it to show up. Just as, say, you turn up at the airport and you've got your ticket, and at the last minute the airline says, I hope you don't mind, we've got an overbooking, we're going to have to upgrade you into business class. Is that okay? You don't say, oh, no, I want to travel in economy class because that's what I booked. You know, you're open to this or something better.
Brilliant. And you also said, Sharon, darling, sweetheart, a very important word, and that is about being clear. Now, that cuts both ways. In one sense, about being precise about what it is that you want. But another way of looking at it is that you need to be clear, or another way, or complete, before you start to create stuff. Because often if you're, we make resolutions in a negative way, in order to correct faults.
Yes, to fix ourselves.
Correct stuff that's wrong. So we're running away from something rather than moving towards. And that doesn't work, because
we're dragging with us.
Always pulls us back.
Yeah, or we're dragging with us baggage about the past, about what we haven't managed to do in the past, or failures that we've had, or cock-ups or whatever. One thing that life gives us is an endless number of chances. Even if we've screwed up in the past, even if things haven't worked out in the past, you know, the world is full of stories of actors who have been unemployed for years and then suddenly the big break comes. And it's being open to that without carrying all that baggage. So, you know, it's not a bad idea to actually write down all the things that, you know, if you're reviewing last year, the things that didn't work, the things you were disappointed about, the things that where you felt you let yourself down. Get it out of your head onto paper. It's such an important part of it, is this, to get stuff out of there and give it a reality, whether it's a list of things to do, whether it's a list of goals for the year, or whether it's a list of stuff that hasn't worked. Get it out there. look at if there's anything that you need to do or say, any conversations that you need to have, anything that you need to get complete. You know, sometimes the conversation is just with yourself, and then tear it up, set fire to it, flush it down the toilet, whatever, let it go, so that you can come into the future without dragging stuff behind you. I love the image of a boat that leaves a wake behind it, but staring at the wake that's behind the boat is going to give you no sense of where you're heading in the future. In fact, you're quite likely to, you know, capsize or collide or something. You need to be focused on where you're going and forget about what's behind you. Take the gifts, of course, take the learning, that will come with you anyway, but let go of all any negative stuff that's holding you back.
Sometimes it can be difficult to unearth the negative stuff that may be holding us back and really creating properly for the future. Have you got any thoughts about ways, you know, just simple things one can do to unearth stuff? Or strangely enough, it can be a matter of tidying things up, you know, checking that there aren't things undone. Because that's as much a part of being complete as anything. It's not so much what you've cocked up, but that which you've left undone or not done what you'd said you'd do.
Yeah. I think it's worth with a notebook or a journal or a big sheet of paper or whiteboard or whatever. Look at different areas of your life, relationships. You know, you're close. You're important. Relationships, family, friendships. If there's anybody there that you think, if I ran into them, I would actually want not to be there. I would want to cross the road or, put my dark glasses on and hide because it would be embarrassing. Then that suggests there's some incomplete conversation. It's fine if it's somebody that you just don't like. But if there's some kind of niggly feeling there of, that would be awkward. Do you know, I would really recommend biting the bullet and just dropping them a note or an email or a text or picking up the phone and saying, I was just thinking about you. I kind of feel that we've got something unfinished that needs, you know, I just want to say sorry for, you know, whatever and to wish you well. It will lighten you, it will release energy in you. The same with, you know, maybe there are things in your home that have been bugging you. You know, it may be a cupboard that's always a mess or something that's broken or needs fixing or needs painting or needs throwing out that, you know, you've never really liked. Get rid of it, sort it out, fix it, mend it, give it away, you know, whatever. It sounds trivial, but I promise you, if you just go through the areas of your life, you know, get your accounts up to date, speak to your agent, call your best mate, call your mum, you know, clear up the cupboard under the stairs, whatever it is. If you can't do it straight away, if it's going to take too long, look at, you know, diarising it or delegating it. So that it, you know, it's going to get done. And I promise you the energy that will be released, the sense of kind of freedom that will come from doing that is immense. And as an actor, if you're a blank slate, if you're a clear space, you can then take on another role. You can take on a character.
I think that brings us really nicely round to thinking about, we tend to think in terms of things that are going to be and happen, or we're going to acquire in the new year, and clearing space, being complete, is the thing that clears the space for the really important thing, and that's growing on the inside. There's one thing that we can affect as actors, and on that journey, it's being a clearing on the inside rather than determining what exactly is going to happen or not in the year.
Yeah.
Have you got anything to say about that?
I got distracted by a thought. There's a book I want to recommend to people, it's about creativity and actors are essentially creative people. It's called Big Magic. It's by Elizabeth Gilbert, who, if you remember, wrote a bestseller called Eat Love, Eat Pray Love. Yes, Eat Pray Love. I can't remember if I had them in the right order. And she's written many other things as well. I would recommend joining her on Facebook because she writes regularly on Facebook. She's she does a lot of stuff with Oprah, and she's big on the whole personal development thing. And there is some really great stuff in there about the things that as creative people holds us back. One of the biggest being fear. And I don't think there is anybody who's attempted to do anything creative. There is certainly no actor who has not, at times, felt immense fear. And I think fear can hold us back from stepping up and declaring what it is we want. So talking about goal setting as an actor and kind of thinking, well, do you know what I would really love to do is to be in a Hollywood blockbuster and a West End play and a kind of important BBC series. But actually, I know what's probably going to happen is I'll get a couple of tiny parts in something. I'll maybe get a commercial if I'm lucky that'll help pay the bills, and I'll do a bit of Fringe for no money at all. Therefore, so there's this big gap between what actually you'd love and what you think you might be able to get on a good day if the gods are with you. So you aim low, and there's something about aiming high with clarity, with commitment, but without attachment, because it may turn out that it's not a Hollywood blockbuster, but it's an amazing movie with an up-and-coming young director that is going to lead to great things in the future. So it may not look exactly the way you thought it would. So while it's important to be specific, it's also important not to be so specific that you block the stuff that you know is trying to reach out to you, to flow to you. What stops us having those big goals is fear. We don't like setting things that we fear we're going to fail at, or that maybe we're not good enough for. My experience in life as an actress, as a businesswoman, as you know, some of the many things I've done, is that fear is always going to be there. One of the things Liz Gilbert talks about in Big Magic is inviting fear along for the ride. She says the only people she's ever met who have no fear are either certain two-year-olds who really don't know what fear is about yet, or psychopaths, sociopaths, who lack the ability to empathise at all. Fear keeps us safe. However, fear is great when there's real danger. What fear isn't is a good travelling companion if you let them take the driver's seat. So invite fear along for the ride, but tell them that they've got to stay in the back seat, that they do not get to choose the route, they do not even get to look at the map, they don't get to choose when you stop for the rest breaks, and they don't get to choose the music that you listen to on the journey. So fear is there as a good travelling companion, but in the back seat. And what happens to people in the back seat is they tend to fall asleep, which is just great. So you can get on with having your amazing adventure on the way. And I think fear is, it's always good to know that fear and excitement physiologically are exactly the same. There's a great story about Bruce Springsteen. He was interviewed by a journalist who asked him how he coped when he was playing things like Madison Square Gardens with audiences of tens of thousands of people, and if he felt frightened. And Springsteen thought about this for a little while, and he said, I'm not going to attempt the voice. He said, no, I don't get frightened. He said, what happens is my palms get kind of sweaty, and I kind of get these sensations in my stomach. And he said, and that just tells me I'm in the zone, so I'm ready to go. And I think we tend to interpret the symptoms of fear, the racing heart, the butterflies or whatever, as meaning that there's danger. And of course it isn't. It's because we're excited, you know, first night nerves, all those sorts of things. I have, you know, I can remember suffering such terror before stepping on stage. You know that feeling where you just think, I would rather be anywhere on earth than where I am right now. And at the very same time thinking, there is nowhere else on earth that I would rather be than where I am now, about to step out on stage and take that kind of step into the dark. So I've kind of deviated a bit there, but I'm sure you get where I'm coming from. Fear is a good thing. So let fear accompany you, but not dictate the journey that you take.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I'm aware that we're past the half hour mark right now, my darling. So what I'm going to do now, I know there's people being watching us coming and going and commenting from time to time. I just want you to say one last word about being patient with yourself. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up in case anybody, you don't have to, but if, in case anybody wants to jump into the empty video seat and ask a question directly, or of course use the / Q, and we'll get a message, a question transferred to the question box there. So if anybody wants to do that, feel free. I'm opening the seat now. But patience.
Yeah. We all like to see results. You know, if you're on a diet, that's what everybody does at the start of a new year, after Christmas excesses, go on a diet. The temptation to leap on the scales after the first day of eating sensibly is huge. And of course you leap on, and maybe you've put a pound on, and it's deeply depressing. So, you know, people give up. I'm quite certain that anybody who has made the decision to be an actor, it's a lifelong commitment. What's going to show up for you, you can't measure in the short term. So be patient with the results. And if you've set big goals for your year about what you want to achieve, don't... I'm going back to what I said at the beginning about, you know, that reset button. Don't give up simply because nothing's showing up yet. Don't think, oh, it's not working. Changes on the outside, just like changes on the inside, the, you know, personal development, mental growth, it takes time, and it doesn't always show on the outside. And I think if you're playing a long-term game, getting to know casting directors, being seen for jobs that maybe you're not right for, it's really important not to take past failures in with you into the casting suite or the audition room or whatever, to come at it fresh and excited and new every single time. And that's where affirmations can be very useful. That's where mantras can be very useful. Things like outrageous openness, grace and ease, magic and miracles, and affirming I am, you know, to yourself regularly, particularly when you're falling asleep, particularly when you're waking up in the morning and the mind is in that kind of half asleep, half awake state, when that door to the unconscious has crept open just a little bit more, so messages can pass. To affirm, I am joyfully and gratefully celebrating my first Oscar nomination, my first BAFTA nomination. I am joyfully getting the applause, you know, on the first night of, you know, the new play I'm in. Whatever it is, whatever your thing is. So you're just kind of putting it out there, out into the world, but you're also affirming to your unconscious mind, you're sending the message that success is coming. It's on its way. Be patient.
Brilliant. And I think it's now time to wrap up. Unless somebody wants to jump in and ask a question, I just want to really thank you, Sharon. Thank you, darling. Say thank you to you. And what do we think are the, you know, the headline takeaways? I think for me, the overarching thing is, in the face of not being able to be specific, you know, or maybe even feeling uncomfortable being specific about what we want from the year, is that wonderful being able to live into an overarching, maybe a generalization, but something, a powerful phrase that pulls you forward, that has you act in the world, you know, being true to yourself. Mm. So that would be, you know, the number one thing. But second to that, then inside of that, sorry, you were going to say.
Well, I was just going to say, I think something I haven't said, but that I think is really useful, is to think ahead to this time next year when you're looking back on 2016. What are you going to say? Well, that was the year of big learning, great adventures, stepping outside of my comfort zone, getting more confidence, whatever. Set that as a goal for the year and see how, with that in mind, see what shows up in that clearing that you've made of big adventures, of more success, of more responsibility, a bigger role, a better role, a role that has you do some travelling. You know, what you choose. You can choose, you can create whatever you like and have some fun with it. And then see what shows up in that clearing. Just don't go into the year thinking it's going to be a year like last year. It's all going to be disaster and, oh, the business is in a terrible state and everybody's cutting back and my agent's not working. Don't take that with you. Think about what you want to create, the kind of year you want to have, the kind of adventures and fun you want to have. Create that as the way the year is going to be and see what shows up. You'll have a much better time, for sure.
I think that's a brilliant way to finish, you know. Yeah. Ooh. So, yeah. So, folks, thank you for being with us through this. We've been nattering for about 40 minutes now, which is about the right time, I think, for people to be able to watch back at their leisure. Thank you, Sharon, darling, sweetheart.
I'll go and put the kettle on now, shall I?
Say again?
I'll go and put the kettle on.
Oh, what a good idea, yes.
We'll have a cup of tea and a bit of a debrief.
All right. I'm going to stop recording now.